Attention. Hello and welcome to Aerial Evolution. I'm Rowan.
And I'm Jane. And in this episode, we are going to talk a little bit about the origins of the podcast and why and how Rowan came up with the idea and how I got involved in all of this and a little bit about who we are and where we connect to the idea of a history on Aerial. So, Rowan, how did you come up with this journey that we are finding ourselves on right now?
You know, I honestly can't totally remember. It's been a couple of years now, and my brain is not that sharp when it comes to remembering things like that. But I do remember that, you know, having a conversation with my brother at a bar when he was in town about podcasts, and we were looking for Aerial podcasts, and there wasn't really anything that came up. There was one, and because he is in podcasting, he suggested I create a podcast. So I was thinking about it, and I have been curious about the history of Aerial for a while and started looking at, well, what is the history? Where did this all come from? And I couldn't find much. I mean, there are little bits here and there, but not an extensive written history like you would expect there to be, and that there is for pretty much everything else. And so that's kind of, I guess, where this all happened, something like that. I am an Aerial student and have been for about 6 years, and I'm a photographer and I photograph a lot of aerialists. So I've had a lot of conversations with professionals and students of, you know, all different varieties. And through all these conversations with people, you know, there just seems to be a lot of mystery. You know, I just wanted to create a platform to really discover all these things.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I started Aerial, 2009 is when I first stumbled into an Aerial studio. And I remember when I was a student, because I didn't start teaching until 2012. And I taught other things at that point in time, but not Aerial specifically. So there was a period where I was just, you know, training, blah, blah, blah. And I remember that time when I was a student and being curious about where it had come from, mm-hmm. and asking people who I was taking classes with or asking people who I was running into at different studios. And everyone seemed to have a different answer.
Right.
For, like, where did the lyric come from? And when did silk start? And who made up hammock and that kind of stuff? And so I kind of feel like I gave up. Mm. And I just was like, oh, okay, so nobody knows. And that's just how it is. I'll just focus on the physical aspect of it. So when you asked me about it, and did I want to be a part of it? My answer was, well, yes, of course.
Yeah.
I would love to get back to these questions that I originally thought of when I was first discovering it, and then somewhere along the way stopped asking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now asking myself, like, why did I do that?
Right.
Why didn't I just keep digging and try and find the answer? And so I'm really excited to dig into this and see what people tell us.
Yeah. Part of where my interest in finding out the history and where this all came from is because, you know, you take classes with different instructors and things are named different things. And I think that's where this history of, like, storytelling being like one person tells you one thing and then another person tells you something else. And so there's like a mythical aspect to this and a folklore of like, oh no, this person invented it. And then no, this other person invented it. Well, the same is true with moves. And then like they're named different things because of that. And I think that through our investigation of the history, that might become clearer.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Totally. Yeah. And I'm really curious to hear what the different perspectives on that are, because for me, and this is something that I attach to with Aerial, because I come from also a design background, and design is, and specifically in sound design as well. And it's intensely creative, and intensely creative in ways where you're sort of taking a point of departure and then almost creatively misusing it, mm-hmm. Until you come up with the final product. And there's something that I think I attach to Aerial pretty early on of having that, where there is a foundation, but then there's this opportunity to transform it.
Right. But when you're learning that foundation, like with design in particular, you know, or photography for me, you learn, and you know, I did judo as a kid or ballet, like you learn the basics and the foundations for a reason to then spin off and do your own thing and be creative and or creatively misuse it, because you have learned the foundation and you have the knowledge base to then go do your own thing. And that's something that I haven't seen in Ariel.
Absolutely. And I, what it occurs to me that that connects to is how much of a community Ariel classes end up being, mm-hmm. that it's not like fitness, you know? Right. So it's like, if anybody's found this podcast and they haven't actually gone and taken an Ariel class and you have access to it, go do it so that you can kind of experience some of what we're talking about. Cause it's so different than when I, you know, it's like I used to run and I used to be on swim team and I, you know, it's like I was very athletic my entire life. And I realized I didn't need to know about a history because the activity sort of started and ended with the physicality of it. Mm-hmm. Whereas Ariel has this opportunity to be something different and also, in my opinion, a little bit more, where people who I have in class now, the people who they meet in class become their friends. Not everybody, but many people start to gravitate towards wanting to perform, and that brings a different layer to it. And so it's an amazing workout, but it's so much more than a workout. And so the need to then, or the, just the desire even, to understand where it came from and understand then where you might fit, mm-hmm. is really cool to me, because, you know, it's like every student that I have, myself included, we're a part of a history, and that's really awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that I was thinking about in the last few days actually was wanting to know about the types of people that gravitate towards Ariel, because we are such a community, and it is a particular community. It's not just anyone that goes and takes an Ariel class. Like, there's a specific person that does it. And yes. I think that's why we all just get along so well, and we are a family.
Yeah. And what I think is going to be really fun to discover and then get to share with our listeners is exactly what this podcast is named, that evolution. You know, it's like, what parts of it came from a circus tradition? What parts of it came from a dance tradition? Where did they blend? How? Who still claims what? Mm-hmm. And why?
Yes.
Like, those are going to be really, really fun to unpack, and I'm super excited to be on this journey with you.
Yeah.
And really looking forward to hearing what people want to share with us as
Absolutely.
They're listening.
And thank you so much for agreeing to do this with me. It's going to be fun.
Of course. So now that you have a little bit more information about Rowan and me and where the idea for Ariel Evolution came from, we are really looking forward to bringing in different guests each episode to talk about how circus blended with contemporary dance, where aerial dance fits into this, how that's considered differently from circus in contemporary aerial. So there's so many different things that we're going to get to delve into with our upcoming guests, and really look forward to having those conversations with them and then sharing this developing and evolving history with everyone. So tune in next Tuesday for the release of our first full episode, where we chat with Lydia Lara, who is an aerial dance performer and instructor.
We are really looking forward to sharing it with you. Until then.